Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are getting very close to laying aside our examination of the book of Obadiah and moving on to our next study, but I do think there are a couple of more applications that it would be well worth our time to make. And I want to talk today, and perhaps on the broadcast tomorrow, about the lessons of grace, what Obadiah teaches us about grace, and two areas in particular, namely the humility of grace and the sovereignty of grace. Where do we find these? Well, we'll plunge right in and talk about it. But you remember, as you're moving along in the book of Obadiah, which is primarily a book about judgment, you come to a culmination of God's judgment in verse 15. For the day of the Lord is upon, or for the day of the Lord rather upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. But a great contrast takes place when we get to verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and so forth. There's where the corner turns from judgment to grace. And therein lies a great lesson, several great lessons, and I want us to look at a couple of them a little more closely before we lay this book aside. So thank you for joining me on this Thursday, June 4. Thank you for your financial support that keeps us teaching on this station. And let's open our Bibles once again to the book of Obadiah. What do we learn about grace? The humility of grace and the sovereignty of grace. First of all, the humility of grace, and I've already pointed out this great contrast. Grace diminishes pride. We've got this description of judgment, and it's clear that the judgment is completely and thoroughly deserved. Shall I read it again? As you have done, it shall be done to you. This is justice. This is even-handed retribution. The judgment of God is no greater than the offenses that have been committed, but will be meted out exactly according to the transgressions that the person is guilty of. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. That's judgment. But we come to verse 17, on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And there is nothing here, or anywhere in the Bible for that matter, but nothing to indicate that the difference between the judgment of verses 15 and 16 and the deliverance of verse 17 has anything to do with the merit of the one who is delivered. The judgment is on the basis of merit, but the deliverance is on the basis of grace. Another way of putting it is, the judgment is deserved, the deliverance is undeserved. That's what we need to understand about grace. This deliverance from retribution, from destruction, which takes place, we read on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. But what does that indicate? Well, that indicates several things that are obvious. Number one, the deliverance is outside of man. It doesn't say, but because of your good performance, because of what is good within you, because of your good life, there shall be deliverance. No, none of that. But on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. That indicates that this deliverance is outside of man. It is accomplished by God. It is related to Mount Zion and all that that indicates, which we've already covered at least in part in previous broadcasts. But the point for this moment is that the deliverance doesn't have anything to do with man. It has to do with something outside of man. In this case, the statement makes it clear that it's related to Mount Zion, and Mount Zion is outside of man. Now, we trace all the way back, and we realize that deliverance traces back to God. It's outside of man. It is sourced in God. But for this statement right now, just concentrate upon that concept that the deliverance is outside of man. It doesn't have anything to do with man. It has everything to do with Mount Zion. That's the point. The place appointed by God. This deliverance is carried out as God designates the place and the terms and everything about it. It is not attributed to human merit, but it is designed by God and carried out by God, and it is only gratefully received with wonder and gratitude by men. As the songwriter put it, "No merit of my own, his anger to suppress, my only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness." So this deliverance from destruction, from retribution, that is connected in some way with Mount Zion, is, as we've already seen, a deliverance to holiness, to separate, set apartness. It is not to be delivered because of our holiness, but to be delivered unto holiness. Again, that's very important to understand, or you'll misunderstand grace. On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The holiness is going to flow from the deliverance that takes place on Mount Zion, and of course that comes about by changed hearts and lives. And what we're talking about is the humility of grace. All of this is designed to promote humility within the hearts of sinners, to promote humility within the lives of those who receive such amazing grace and realize they had nothing to do with it. It is, indeed, no merit of my own. His anger to suppress. His anger is just. It is righteous. It is deserved. But it is suppressed, but not through any merit of my own. The point being that grace, by its very design, by the way that God brings it about, grace diminishes pride. Grace diminishes pride. Grace cultivates humility. We've seen that already in verse 21, as the entire book concludes with the statement, "And the kingdom is the Lord's, not mine." The kingdom is not mine, it is the Lord's. It is the Lord reigning over a kingdom of willing, obedient subjects who have been delivered from just judgment, just punishment. Their guilt has been dealt with in a way that allows a just and holy God to justly deliver them. And it brings them to a new level of obedience. There shall be holiness. On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and on Mount Zion there shall be holiness. And again, the holiness is not what I do in order to deserve God's grace, because it's undeserved. By very definition, by nature and definition, grace is unmerited favor. And so it's the other way around. It is that this undeserved grace is what develops the holiness. Out of the changes, the great changes and the great power and work associated with grace flows this holiness, which is the Lord therefore reigning over a kingdom of willing, obedient subjects, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So we can see that in this operation of grace, the first step is in creating subjects for this kingdom. Salvation is what does that. There's going to be a kingdom, and first of all, it's going to have to be a kingdom of righteousness because the kingdom is the Lord's, and the Lord can't have anything that is unrighteous. So there's going to be a kingdom, and the kingdom has subjects who are, you know, in subjection to the king. The king reigns over the subjects. That's the very nature of a kingdom. And because men are sinners, then something has to take place to change these sinners and to change their orientation so that they can be subjects of this righteous kingdom. So the first step in grace is creating subjects for the kingdom, which is the work of salvation. And what that does is, by the working of God's grace, is to bring rebellious sinners to surrender to Christ's authority. That makes an entirely new orientation, an entirely new attitude, an entirely new disposition that is created by the work of grace. And that, of course, to bring formerly rebellious sinners to surrender to Christ's authority begins with an initial act of humility, or we have to be brought to humility. There has to be an act of humiliation, and that's all involved in repentance and faith. So the first step is creating subjects of the kingdom. The second step is training subjects for the kingdom. That's sanctification. Once the subjects have been made, that has to be first, then there is this ongoing work of holiness, this growing surrender, this growing obedience, this growing godliness, this growing humility. So first, subjects are created for this kingdom. Secondly, subjects are trained for this kingdom. And then thirdly, the subjects are presented to the king in the final act of complete sanctification, in the removal of all remaining sin and all total humility, rather than any humility still mixed with vestiges of pride, which is our current condition. And finally, the subjects of the kingdom are going to be presented to their Lord and Master, or another way of putting it in biblical imagery is the bride is going to be presented to the groom, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 5, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's the third step. The complete work that makes the subjects now entirely suited for this kingdom. This is what the work of grace is doing. It brings a desire for holiness and manifestations of holiness, and all of this is carried out by bringing the subjects, the formerly proud and rebellious subjects, to humility. And when you see that taking place, you see the evidence of grace at work. We're talking about the humility of grace. This is what grace does. It takes proud rebels and it makes them humble subjects, humble citizens of this kingdom of which Christ is the king. That's the final step, the final statement of this whole book, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So this is what is going on, and we'll continue talking about it a little bit more on the broadcast tomorrow, and I would encourage you to join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast. Our address is Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Until tomorrow, good day. May God's peace be with you.